following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
I want to talk tonight, Powerful Principles of Praise, Part 1. Powerful Principles of Praise, Part 1. I want to share something that I hope will tremendously edify us and help us in our life. You know, every day, all of us struggle with stuff. Can you hear an amen? What has your stuff been today? Fear? Unbelief? Panic? Anxiety? Lust? Pride? What's your stuff been? Joy? Peace? But every day, things tend to hit our life. Can you hear an amen? In the world, you shall have what? That's just a fact of life. And if you're thinking that you can live this Christian life out and somehow get to the point where everything is going to be fine and nothing troublesome will happen anymore and it'll all be wonderful and it'll all be just perfect and everything on this side of the rapture, you are really deceived. Can you hear amen? It ain't going to happen. As long as there are free will creatures walking around, there are going to be problems. As long as the devil is unchained, there are going to be problems. Let me tell you something really interesting. People do not have a clue the degree in which Satan controls this earth. They don't have a clue. The degree, the depth in which Satan and his demons control every fabric of our culture and society. They have no clue. You know when they will? They will have a clue when the millennial reign starts. This is clearly outlined in Scripture. When Jesus comes again and lives in Jerusalem bodily, Christ will live physically on the earth. Do y'all believe that? And the Bible says that Satan will be what? Tied up with chains and thrown down to be released later. And 1,000 years later, he will be released for a short period. This is told us in Scripture. But as soon as Satan is bound, the earth will go into something called the millennial reign. The earth will go into an idyllic state where the lion will lay down with the lamb, where righteousness will prevail, where it says every man will live under his own fig tree. In other words, there are these scriptures, Psalm 72 describes it, there are these wonderful verses, Micah 2 or 3, Isaiah 2, up in there around, these incredible passages, Revelations, the later chapters, of the millennial reign, where the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as what? And remember, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then we will realize, man, did Satan control this place or what? Because once he is withdrawn, we'll see where he'd been. But there are verses, there's a very funny little verse in Job, that talks about there's a veil over the earth. The mind of the judges is a veil. Isaiah 25 speaks of the day when Messiah comes and pulls the veil away. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, now we see through a glass how? Actually, the Greek is in a riddle. But then, face to face.
we will see clearly. The veil will be lifted, Satan will be bound, and this earth we will then understand the depth in which he controlled and had proximity, power, precedence, and permeance into this culture and our society in unbelievable ways, into lives and churches in every minute way. But here's the good news. You don't have to wait till the millennium to get glimpses of that. Amen. We don't have to wait. It'll be really clear then. And by the way, if you're born again, you'll be there. Okay? You'll see it. But we don't have to wait. That's why God gave His Spirit, the first fruit Spirit, so that the Spirit could show us things to come. Amen? The Spirit could reveal the things of God. The Spirit of the Lord could open our eyes through the gifts of the Spirit and discern what's going on in the reality of the earth and the way Satan controls the earth. And in so many ways, in so many ministries, Satan and his proximity and his permeance in every fabric is given very little attention and notice. But it's a reality. Christ very much focused on the presence of Satan. Because in Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were pressed to the devil. Can any man? His whole focus was setting people free from the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose Son of God was manifested, that they might destroy what? The works of the devil. So his whole purpose was to undo, destroy, and liberate the captives from the devil. It means his focus was on the devil. It was just the focus of getting the devil out of people, giving the devil out of institutions, standing against the devil, having a resistance of the devil. Jesus started his whole ministry. He started his ministry with one-to-one, hand-to-hand combat with Satan himself. Y'all remember that? 40 days, Satan came down, hand-to-hand combat. He basically threw the gauntlet down, and it was wrestling and battle, pitch battle from then on, all the way to the end. When they finally got him. I mean, they kept looking for ways, and they finally got him, they thought. But the point I'm making tonight is God wants to open our eyes in the Spirit to discern and to see what's really going on around us, you know, and not to be naive and dull and clueless and spiritually, you know, have no perception. God wants to sharpen us in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, there is one thing that will do that more than any other. It's learning how to worship and praise. It's learning how to being committed to praising Jesus. Can you amen? It's something like once somebody said, you know, it's one thing to pray, it's another thing to praise. It's like pray is over at Federal expressing it, but praise is emailing it. You know, praise is instant. Praise is goes right into the presence of God. There's something powerful about praise. And that's what I want to share. Just there, this is part one, powerful principles of praise. And there are really a number of them. I'm just really going to hit on two principles tonight. I felt like it'd be good just to hit on a few and then to praise. Amen? Not hit on to do a long teaching and make a lot of notes. Let's just hit on two that we can remember, then praise and move in those principles and make them ours. So to start out, Isaiah 61. Y'all know this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody look up. You know what I just did? I did exactly what Jesus did. Only he didn't have a Bible, he had a scroll. In Luke 4, he went into his hometown and they asked him to read a passage. Jesus Christ, first sermon he ever did, he read exactly what I just read and he stopped in the middle of the verse like I just did. Did you see where I stopped? He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he put the book down. Did anybody know that? That's in Luke 4. He stopped in the middle of the verse. Why did the Messiah stop in the middle of the verse? Why didn't he finish? Anybody know? Because the B part of that verse, he didn't come for yet. What did he come for? The A part of the verse, didn't he? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time accepted. He came to proclaim. This is the time to come to the Lord. Did you know there's going to be a time? Turn back to Isaiah 61. Of course, you didn't go away. I did. There's going to be a time he's going to pick the scroll back up and finish the verse. You know where that is? Look at Isaiah 34. Look at this. This is when he finishes the verse. This is a scary chapter. Come nearer, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear and all that's therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He's utterly destroyed them. He's delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain will be cast out. Their stink will come up. Their carcasses and the mountains will be melted with blood. And all the host of heaven will be dissolved. And all the heavens will be rolled together like a scroll. And all the host will fall as fig leaf falls off of a vine as a falling fig from the fig tree, and my sword will be bathed in heaven. It will come down from Edomia, and upon the people my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's made fat with fatness from the blood of lambs and goats, from the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorns will come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land will be soaked with blood and their dust made fat, for it is the day of the Lord's. That's the B part. Edomia, Bozrah, Edom, clearly prophesied. Clearly when Messiah comes and the remnant will be hiding. He will go to Bozrah. He will go to the land of Edom. He will rescue the captive and walk with them back 3.5 days into Jerusalem. If you ever listen to my end time series, when he comes again, Jesus Christ will execute righteousness. But aren't you glad you're in the A part, Cameron? Hello? So go back to Isaiah 61. I'm so glad we're at the A part, because verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for what? That they may call trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is a wonderful verse. We quote it so tritely. We all know it. He gives us the garment of praise for the throne of heaven. Y'all knew that verse? How many of y'all knew that verse? How many of y'all ever had a spirit of heaviness? Depression. Gloom. Despair. Hopelessness. Woe is me. Okay, alright. I remember, what was that? Yeehaw. Man, y'all just dated yourself. You just dated yourself. Okay, if you're listening to this tape, the spirit of confusion has come into the room. Yeah. All right. Spirit of heaviness. Did you know heaviness is a spirit? I want you to hear this. Heaviness is a spirit. Depression is a spirit. Hello? You may get depressed. You may feel heavy, but there is a spirit that you invite when you wallow in it. Whenever you wallow in the soul, there is no spiritual vacuum. Something will come to accommodate you and help exacerbate and make it worse. and keep you there, pin you down. You ever seen a wrestling match? What is it all about? Pinning down. We wrestle not against what? But what do we wrestle against? Principalities, powers. Satan pins us down with depression and heaviness and gloom and despair and hopelessness. What's the use? And life has a way of leading us right down the end of that alley. Life has a way, the situations of life have a way to lead you right down the alley of depression and heaviness and hopelessness and despair. It doesn't matter how well you live life, something's going to come down. You're going to end up turning the car and going down to the dead end. You know what I mean? If you let it. Am I right? Well, you need to understand that heaviness is a spirit. Depression is a spirit. You can't take the medicine till you recognize the sickness. It's a spirit. We wrestle against spirits. A lot of times we forget these are spirits. These are demons. There are spirit beings we wrestle with. There are demons assigned over believers. Do y'all believe that? Whether you believe it or not, you've probably wrestled with some recently. Even as there are angels assigned, there are demonic spirits. There's demonic spirits assigned over churches. We have one assigned over our church. I was with a couple of ladies today who visit this place. They came in. They wanted some counsel about some stuff. And I started talking about new wine and the lovely little demon that's been assigned over our church. I saw it in a vision in 1989 or 90. And do you know it was confirmed about 10 times? People would come in, didn't know diddly, call me on the phone, said, "Well, I got up in the middle of the night, turned on the TV, there was some special about Moray Eels." Had a former witch come into this church once. And we were praying for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't even here. It was some other church. We used to rent spaces in churches. She said, "Yeah, when I drove up, I saw this water snake coiled up by the door." And I'll never forget that. I said, "My goodness, how did she know?" Well, anyway, suffice it to say, as recently as 2 weeks ago, somebody in the church saw it again in a dream. It's a demon assigned over our church. Doesn't trouble me anymore. It's been how many years? 13, 14 years? The Lord finally showed me something years ago about that demon. He told me something. He said, "I leave it there. Because if anybody can get through that thing, then he'll stick with the church." You know what I mean? You cannot easily come into this church. You know what's the difference between a cult and a genuine church of God? You want to know the difference? Real simple. A cult is real easy to get into and real hard to leave. "Oh, come be one of us. We love you." You ever heard of love bombing? My older brother got love bombed into the Hare Krishna cult when he had broken shoulder in Angola prison in 1971. He was love bombed. The Hare Krishnas would just love. And he would just get sucked into this cult. But boy, you try to get out of one of those cults. Am I right? Cults are easy to get into, hard to get out of. You know what a genuine church of God is? They're hard to get into, but easy to leave. Jesus Christ said, "Hey, don't come following me unless you count the cost." You know what I mean? One guy ran up to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "All right, we got us a recruit, man. We got us a man. James, Peter, grab him. We got a new guy. Show him the ropes. Come on, man. We're building our numbers. We're up to 13. All right. Church growth, here we come. What did Jesus say to this poor guy? He says, come here. You look rich. Give everything away to the poor, all of it, and come follow me. The guy says, everything? Everything. It went away, why? Sorrowful. And I can see the disciples are going, rich guy, he was going to be with us. No more of this walking. We could have had mules. You know? By the way, the Israelites did not have horses. Did you know that? Did you ever wonder why you never see them riding horses? Do you ever wonder that? David had Solomon put on his mule. All mules. All the threads through the Old Testament. Mules, never horses. Does anyone know why? It's true. Do you ever wonder why the Jews never fought with horses? This is not part of my teaching, but it's an aside. Did you know why? I'll tell you why. Because one of the leading manufacturers of horses, wrong word, but you get the idea. They weren't the manufacturers, they were the breeders of horses, were the Egyptians. And God said, you shall not have horses. Why? It would endear them to the very land he pulled them out of. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, go look it up. You don't see them on horses there. But going on, Jesus, it was real hard to get in. And I believe that's the way a church ought to be. So the thing does us a favor. I didn't ask it to come here. I had a vision and saw it. I remember we went on a fast for about a week years ago to get rid of it. The Lord has allowed the devil to sit on the perimeter of this church. And you say, that's kind of weird. Well, what about it says, he says, the evil spirit from the Lord was sent to Saul. Do you know what? Somebody once said, the devil, it's God's devil. There ain't nothing the devil does God doesn't use. In fact, Satan thinks he's doing him, he's not hurting us at all. That demon is not hurting us at all. It actually does us a favor. If people can get through that thing, they're fine. They're in. Can you know what I mean? The Lord showed me another vision once in the Spirit. I had a real impression of an umbrella in a rainstorm. And there are three phenomenas in an umbrella in a rainstorm. Three phenomenons. One is as you're out in the rain, you're getting wet, right? That's phenomenon number one. Phenomenon number two is you're under the umbrella. You're not getting wet at all. But what is the third? What's going along around the perimeter of the umbrella? Is there more water on the edge of the umbrella than outside? It's almost like a curtain, wouldn't it be? A curtain of water. Have you ever done that? It's raining, you get under an umbrella, and you get really wet just getting under it. But once you're under, you're dry. Do you follow what I'm saying in the spirit? Before you can get really dry, sometimes you have to get through a curtain. That's what that thing is. Now, you might question the theology of that. I don't care. It's been going on 14 years. It continues to go on. And I got an impression from the Lord. We would no longer have that if we softened the word. People could get in here. They could skate in here. They could belly flop in here. No problem. Fill the pews. Knock the wall out. They could. If I wasn't such a stickler for things. But I'm a stickler for things. So therefore it's hard to get in. Sorry. If I ever quit, you get another pastor. He might not be the same stickler for things. And that's okay. Right? Every pastor's his own deal. But you got me. I'm a stickler. There's one thing, a couple of things I won't let happen in this body. We're not going to have people coming in with a bunch of demons causing problems.
You know what I mean?
Bunch of slimy, witchcrafty, Jezebel-y. Controlling, divisive, gossiping demons! They're not going to be here! Can I not? The way we get them out, you have a comb. Let's tell you how we get demons out of the place. Is it clean? Okay. Tell you how we get demons out. Ready? Ready? That's, is that, do I have a, what do you call those? All right, that's something the preachers have, man. When I gotta do my TV thing, you know. You know what that is? All right. Repent, woman! You know what that is, running the comb through the hair? That's mass deliverance. Keep them demons out. You know what I mean? Take authority in Jesus' name over the demons and the people and all the place. Cleans out the religious spirits. The people that are here for any reason other than Jesus, they leave. Huh? Yeah. The lice. Get the bugs out. The spiritual dandruff. Right. Internet. So, I'm not quite sure how that tied in. Like I said, I just have three little verses. But the spirit of heaviness. Now, what's the solution to the spirit of heaviness? You know what? You can be delivered of that demon of heaviness, and he can come right back and belly flop on top of you again. But there is an offensive weapon we have against heaviness and depression and despair and hopelessness. And it is the wonderful gift of praise. In fact, he calls it a garment. It's interesting. Peter in 1 Peter 5 says, clothe yourselves. He says, clothe yourselves with what? Am I remember? Come on. What do you tell it? 1 Peter 5, but you elder, humble yourself to the younger. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and clothe yourselves with humility. Here's another garment, praise. And praise, I believe, this is my theology, precedes worship. Praise precedes worship. Worship is when you're in, man. Praise is when you're out. In fact, it says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with? All right. And then in Psalm, go back, that's Psalm 100. Go back a couple of Psalms, it says, bow down and kneel before him and worship him. That's in the inner court. Praise is the out. Praise entails your human will. You have to make a choice to praise. You have to praise when nothing in you wants to pray. When you're under the garment of heaviness, is that what it says? The spirit of heaviness. When you're oppressed and beat up, demons are pounding you, they're handing the hammer around, taking turns pounding your head with fear and doubt and unbelief and whatever and depression and guilt and shame and beating you up. And the notion of praise seems stupid. And yet it's right there. When you remember, I will what? Bless the Lord. When? Sometimes. And his praise shall occasionally be in my mouth. Is that what it says? It is an act of the will. You have a powerful weapon in your arsenal, and it is your human will. Jesus said, in the most horrifying moment of his life, when he was shedding blood, just sweating blood, talk about a stressful day. And yet he was able to say what? Not but the will need never be oppressed by the soul. I really believe what separates the men Christians from the baby Christians is those who know how to make a choice of the will apart from their mind and emotions. And they can choose to praise Jesus, to give thanks to Jesus, because it devastates demons. And I have been in deliverance sessions where I have seen demons manifesting. You know, the kind that talk, the kind that blaspheme and wiggle and squirm and kick and spit and bite and claw and scream. Those are the fun sessions. I've been in them. And I've seen these things manifest on people's faces where the faces contort. I've seen faces actually contort like an animal. Many of y'all have been in such sessions. And I've found the greatest weapon we have in casting those demons out, because we're called to cast them out, is worship and praise in tongues. Something about tongues drives demons nuts. It's not just in natural, oh, praise the Lord, it's shundala makal. I'm telling you, they shut up like that when you sing in tongues. Oh, do you not like that? Well, let me do it a little louder. You know what? Something quickened me about tongues the other day. Why it's so powerful. It's the ultimate humility. Because it's babbling. Who babbles? Except you become as... You know that word in the Greek is, little children? That word nepios means an infant without speech, meaning they babble. That's what the word means. And what Christ said, Jesus gave us his gift of tongues. And what does that mean? All I know is there was a division of tongues at a tower called... What? Where do you think they get the word babbling? From Babylon. Because they begin to babble. They're all climbing this tower. They have one tongue. Who knows what they were speaking? And they were all saying, here, hand me that hammer. I need a brick. Fred, give me some more mortar. Sure, George, shakadigu. Well, be sure to bakoon. What's that I would do? What do you make it do? And they're all looking at each other. He says, go to the wall. And he's hammering the hammer. Not the mortar, the hammer. It's going there. Can you imagine what happened the moment the tongues twisted up? They're all just getting in fist fights. You can see it all over the plane. You know, they were in a plane. Just all these little groups. Just nuts. And all of a sudden, they'd be screaming, and they would hear someone over there. I understand them. So this one goes, and he's going, so all of a sudden, these different nationalities. Really? They began to go east. The Shuntoko, they went north. Right? Is that what happened? So they began to go and drift. Now, did you know the earth at that point was all one? Did you know that? Pangaea. Look it up on the web. Boy, you talk about fascinating. The earth was all one. South America and Africa would fit together. See, it was in the days of Peleg that the earth was divided. Don't believe science. Believe the Bible. How in the world? Because it said the whole earth was overspread. Listen, don't believe the bit that the Aborigines in the base of Argentina migrated from the Alaskan land bridge from Africa. Don't believe that. That's what they'll teach you. Civilization was born in Africa by Lucy. And they migrated up to the land bridge. And they crossed into Alaska and they came down to North America during the Ice Age and they made it all the way down. Blah. That doesn't explain to me why the pyramids are on the same hemispheric line. Have you ever noticed that? You got the Egyptian pyramids. Just follow the little globe. You're out over in Mexico. Same types of pyramid things. They serve, the Egyptians worship the Ra, sun god Ra. Do you know what the Mexicans worship? The sun god. You're telling me, oh, well, that was just a coincidence. They just, when they drifted down, you know, with the Indians, and they were, bull, it was all one globe. I mean, this is fascinating. I'm not even at the second verse. I was going to tell you about, did you know they were flying before B.C.? Yes. Yes. There was aeronautics before the time of Christ. Nothing else explains the fascinating trenches of Peru. These things are, listen, there's so much we don't know. Do you know that there were dinosaurs in the times of man? Anyway, this is somewhat getting off the subject. But Babylon, that's where I am. So speaking in tongues. So Jesus looks down, he sees this whole world is overspread with all these weird languages. And it is a curse, man. I was sitting next to this lady in an airplane once. And it was obvious she didn't speak English and I didn't speak her language. We just couldn't talk. That's a curse, man. Amen? It's a curse. When we go witnessing. Oh, ¿cómo está? Jesús Cristo vive en el corazón. Sí? Sí. That's all I know. you católica? Pentecostal? Iglesia, pastor? That's about it. Hola. That's a curse, isn't it? One day, Zephaniah says, we'll have one tongue. So you know what God did? Tongues divided. So what do you do in Pentecost? Tongues what? Run it again. And there's something about when people sing in tongues, what happens? Brings us together. Isn't that fascinating? There's a real mystery. It's a babbling. I'm telling you, demons hate tongues. Hate it. So therefore, you ought to do it lots. Lots and lots. Amen? Your brain starts getting in the way. Just speak in tongues to clear it out. Amen? Okay, Psalm 8. A couple of verses here. We're going to just share two powerful principles of praise tonight. Well, maybe we'll get to two. May end up being one. It's all right. Powerful principle of praise. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. This ties in what I was just talking about. Have you what? Because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. Keep your finger there. Look at Matthew 21:15. Keep your finger there. I want you to see how Jesus quoted this very verse. This is very important. How did Jesus quote this verse? Jesus read Psalm 8 once. He said, I think I'll change the wording. And you can do that when you're God. Don't you do it. So Jesus quotes it. Matthew 21:15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children were crying in the temple saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said, don't you hear what these kids are saying? And he says, yes, and have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast, how do your versions read? Perfected what? Praise. Now, there's a wonderful revelation. Combine the revelation. This is what you can do in Scripture. Look at the Old Testament, look at what Jesus said, and you get a revelation. If you look back at Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you've ordained strength. What? That you might still. I did a sermon years ago called Still Stop and Stomp the Enemy. God wants us to still, to stop the enemy, to stop the enemy in his tracks. And then Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have what? Here's a revelation. Praise and worship. In fact, NIV reads, silences the enemy. Right there. And somebody silences. Praise and worship silences the enemy. Now that's a powerful revelation. It's the first principle of praise. Praise and worship silences the enemy. See, so many people have noisy minds. There's noise in their head. Fears and lies and anxieties and doubts and worries and suggestions and innuendos and nagging memories and torments in their brain all the time. And then they say, well, I'll just take every thought captive. Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll take every thought captive. It doesn't work. Amen? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. About 3 seconds. There, it was on. I had perfect peace for about a half second. You know, that it's not a striving thing. Amen? You know the answer is, just get out of your mind. Get out of your mind. Jenny, get out of your mind. Anybody ever come and say, you're out of your mind? What are you supposed to be? In the Spirit. Out of your mind, into the Spirit. You see, when you praise and worship, it silences the enemy. I have this, I don't need to bring this to church. We bought this spray that we use to spray on the concrete floor when the puppies do things they ought not. And you clean it up and you spray this so that they will not do it again. So what they do is they just do it right next to where the spray was. But you know what it's called? No go. It's great. I've got the can. No go. Got to empty that thing, put water in it. No go. But you know what? You can silence the enemy. You can speak and resist the devil when you submit yourself to God. Everybody tries to do the B part of James 4:6 before they do the A part. The B, A, James, I think it's 4:6, says, submit yourself to God and he will. So you got your part and the devil's part. When you do your part, what does he do? He flees. What's the A part? Then what? And what? So some of us, just the devil comes around, go, go, bad thoughts, go, go, just leave me alone, leave me alone. What are you forgetting? Submit yourself to God. How do you submit yourself to God? You get up under the spout where the glory pours out. You get up under the authority of God. How do you do that? You come into his presence. Can you amen? How do you enter his presence? Into his gates with what? Into his courts with what? Praise him. Praise him in the midst of all hell. Praise him in the midst of Satan battering at your door. Praise in the midst of all in the gale wind and the blast of the fury of the Satan. Praise him. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By the way, those praises mean a lot more to him. Did you know a prayer like this, oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the midst of hell, means more to Jesus than, oh, I love, when you're in the midst of God's people. Can you amen? It's easy to praise God when everybody's around here. Can you amen? How about when all hell's hitting you? That's what tells the tale. Without faith, it's impossible to... That's what it takes faith, man. You got to believe God's there and praise him anyway. You know, when you really praise him, it silences the enemy. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest weapons in the world is singing in tongues. Singing in tongues. Singing in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues... That's like going to battle without the bullets. Amen? I tell people, they come in for ministry, do you speak in tongues? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Doctrine, schmoctrine. Don't give me this baptism, schmaptism stuff about I shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't. Forget it. It's from Jesus. You need it. He died on the cross so you could move in the power of the Holy Ghost. How stupid to quibble over this. He says, I would that you all speak in tongues. These signs will follow. If you're going to quibble over it, forget it. Keep your demons. First thing you need, speak in tongues. Not just speak in singing tongues. You can do warfare in the heavenlies. You can learn gauge and principalities. And that's another powerful principle. Learn to engage in the spiritual realm. How do you get in the spirit? You pray in the spirit. I was reading this dispensational book the other day, and it was saying what praying in the Spirit was. It says praying with lofty theology. Praying with lofty theological notions of the grandeur of God. I'm sorry, I don't know what lofty theology. You know the most grander notion of theology is, I don't know what I just said, but it was probably pretty lofty. Karen and Matt. Mega. You ran out. 20 words, you're out, dude. Gigantic. I mean, God goes, come on, man. Alright. I can even, you know, when you get up in that realm, who knows what you're saying. But you know, when I pray in the Spirit, I pray mysteries unto God. Can you amen? Mysteries. And I give thanks well. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, 16. I give thanks well. I'm praying mysteries. Jesus said, it's given to you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I had a preacher once who said, when you speak the mysteries, he'll speak them back to you. It's given to you to know the mysteries. Speak the mysteries. Pray in the mysteries, and he'll reveal them to you. Some of us want to know, Daniel 2:22, the secret things of the Lord our God, and he revealed them unto us. God wants to reveal the revelation, the understanding, the comprehension. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things, but God has revealed them to unto us by his Spirit. We quote that verse all the time, eye has not seen. The next verse says, God's revealed them to you. You can see these things now. In that very context, a few verses earlier, he talks about we speak the mysteries of the Spirit. Can you amen? And what are the mysteries? I don't know. One of the greatest mysteries of all time for men is, what does that woman want? Can you amen? Men, speak in tongues. And the greatest mystery of for women is, what is the deal with that man? You know what I mean? Women, speak in tongues. So, do y'all understand? Did you know... I believe angelic beings. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you what happens when you praise and worship in this principle. Because I have actually seen it, and I know many of y'all have. I have seen this as clear as I see this glass in my hand. I have seen this reality, particularly when you're under pressure. I don't see it as much when things are going fine and I'm peaceful, you know, everything's fine. Huh? But when there's something concerning me or bugging me or I don't have peace, I've lost my peace, I'm concerned, I'm fearful, something's pressing on me, and I praise anyway, something opens in the spirit realm, and I've seen this. God rewards faith. He rewards faith with a glimpse into the spiritual realm. And I'm telling you something, man. When you get a couple of glimpses into the spiritual realm, the natural realm, you see it for what it is. And you're under pressure in situations, and you begin to praise him anyway and worship in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Everything in me just wants to be in the flesh, but I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. Worship you. Word. In the meantime, the demons are... Do you know what's going on right then? Angelic beings are falling down around you. Spirit beings, angels of the Lord. And something happens. Whatever's clutched your mind begins to pull back. Clutched your emotions begins to pull back. And I believe an angel of the Lord or a number of angels of the Lord come up, and at some point they take the sword out. No! And the demons pull back. You can breathe. And then you can hear the Lord. Amen? Well, nothing in the circumstance may have changed. Nothing. but you're at peace. And you go, whoa, this is cool. Why am I at peace? Nothing's changed. Why? Because the angel of the Lord are holding the demons back. Right then, what you do is you say, Jesus, help. And the Lord speaks. That's usually when the Lord speaks. You know, he usually speaks, be at peace. It'll work out. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm still on the throne. Hello. Trust me with all your heart. Quit leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. That situation is for me. I've let it come to you because you've been fill in the blank, stubborn, rebellious, whatever. So give thanks to me, obey me, submit to me, and I'll call the dogs off. Amen? But you know, you get all that light, revelation, understanding, and discernment from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, usually after you pray in tongues and sing in tongues in the midst of it, and the angels pull them back. You get light. And I was just sharing that happened when I was in a meeting the other day, remember? I was meeting with I was praying with one lady, we're praying for another lady in the office. And the phone rang right in the middle. We were fixing to pray. And I went and picked up the phone, and it was a situation that was just say had to do with some dynamics having to do with someone kind of opposing the ministry, and it's just frustrating situation. And I just hung the phone up and said, oh man, it bugs me. I can't stand it. I feel out of control in this situation. So right about that time we began to pray. So we're praying, but you ever do that? Something's really bugging you, it's on your brain, and you start praying. You ever do that? What's the first thing you do when you start praying? You're thinking about what's bugging you. Can I, man? It's hard to pray, isn't it? You're supposed to be there, but I mean, this is on you. So I'm just going, Lord, I need to let this go. And that was the first chance I had to give it to the Lord. So I said, Lord, now I prayed. I said, I just put this at your feet. It's not my deal. I don't know what to do. It's frustrating. It bugs me. It's your deal. It's not mine. Here, you deal with it. I let it go. And I began to just do that. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for allowing this to happen. I thank you in the midst of it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're the Lord. You allow these things. You knew the timing. You knew you'd let it would happen right here at this point in my prayer. Thank you, Lord. And that's the way I was praying. Just with the Lord. I give it to you. Give it to you. Right there when my eyes were closed, I had a phenomena in the spirit. It was so cool. While I was sitting there, I felt this anxiety, this frustration. I literally saw, while my eyes were closed, this darkness pulled back. Pulled back. Pulled back. Till it was outside of a perimeter around me, and I had total peace, and I couldn't even remember what it was I was bugged about. I mean, that was so cool. And I was able to fully get into the ministry, and the gifts began to operate. Can I, amen? Does that make sense how this works? Praise silences the enemy. Say this after me. Jesus, help me get smart and wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Help me to praise you by faith in the midst of anything going on, so I can experience the power of the Spirit silencing the voices of the enemy and quieting the turmoil in my soul, so I can hear the gentle voice of the Spirit of the Lord speaking and rescuing me. Amen? One more principle tonight. Last place, Psalm 149:5. And this goes along with it. Last place we're going to look. Y'all know this verse. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing what? Sing aloud upon their beds. Let the King James reads the what? High praises of God be in their mouth. Now stop right there. Pause. Now, how does that verse finish? And what? Do you see the tie-in? I want you to see right there. Let the high praises be in their mouth and a two-edged sword. God never intended us to wield the sword of the Spirit apart from praise. And when you ever do it, it's folly. If you're ever going into a situation to do spiritual warfare, to wrestle with any issue, and you're not praising and worshiping, you're dealing with a rubber knife. We've learned over the years here, when we minister to people, you know, we sit down to pray for someone for ministry, you got to be in the Spirit. And how, what's the best way to get in the Spirit? Sing in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Look what happens. But this is what you do with the two-edged sword. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind the kings with chains or nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Now, you know, David is talking about natural things here. But he's not. So I'm not doing battle with kings with a sword. Now think about it a minute. He's talking about executing vengeance upon heathen and kings and nobles. What is he talking about? I have to believe there's some spiritual application. Did you know that in this demonic realm, there are different hierarchies of demonic entities? Spiritual wickedness in heavenly high places. There are high-level demonic spirits and medium-level demonic spirits. Everybody look at me. In the name of Jesus, I command this spirit to leave the room now. I peak your power. Go. Now. Jesus' name. Go. Take a deep breath. Peak your power. Go. Satan, I want you to hear this. People are drifting away. I can see it on your faces. Here I am talking about high, mid-level principalities and powers. Hello? Lord, help us to stay on the beam. The enemy does not like it when we talk about these things. Praise and worship stirs up fight inside in resistance against demonic and principality powers that we wrestle against according to Ephesians 6. Praise and worship is a powerful weapon against the devil. High praise pulls down spiritual strongholds and weaknesses in offensive warfare. I don't know what we do in this room when we praise, but something happens in the heavens. Y'all believe that? Something happens up there. Something loosens. Whatever you loose on earth, what? Loosed in heaven. And you can go through a whole week or months of turmoil, bondage, and stronghold, agony, torment. You can come to praise, get up those high praises, and it's gone. And you don't even know what happened. Because some principality had a hook on you, given some kind of lie that you buy in. Some kind of deception, some kind of whatever, judgment or hurt or unbelief. When you're praising, some angel came along, pop that thing, and you're free. Can you amen? I've seen people get liberated from years of bondage in a worship session. This is real stuff. Things have been a little quiet lately. Need to stir things up. It's a little bit too quiet for my liking. Demons, when demons start to yawn, you know that it's time to stir things up. A little complacent. Things are a little too smooth. Stir things up. So what are the principles we learned tonight? First one is praise and warfare, praise and worship silences the enemy. Amen? So you can hear the voice of Jesus. The strangest voice they will not follow. Second is praise and worship. It is our offensive weapon against powers and principalities.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.